What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're moving ever closer to kickoff. Sunday afternoon at the Link. Possibility of snow. Love it. Good morning to you. All right, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Life advice with the hammer in about 15 minutes. Sheil Kapadia in about a minute. But let me tell you right now, big thanks to Wendy's. Brought in a big old spread of food.
Buddy.
Big old spread, breakfast food. You think of Wendy's, you might think of, you know, afternoon food, nighttime food. Think of breakfast food.
Well, you think of burgers, think of the breakfast burger. It is amazing.
That's what I just said. I had a burger with an egg, and it was phenomenal. So
not surprising that you would go burger.
Yes.
A breakfast burrito with sausage
they had that
or
as well.
Bacon. Yep. They got that, too. They got it all.
Yeah, they got the honey.
Chicken biscuit. Ooh,
that's right.
Buddy.
The honey buddy chicken biscuit. So it's all there. Breakfast, baconator, the whole deal. Seasoned potatoes. It's tremendous. The vanilla and chocolate cream cold brew. It's all there. Freshen up your morning with Wendy's breakfast. If you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, got to be Wendy's. Get to your local Wendy's today, of course, or any day. All right, let's go to talk to our next guest. You can join us at 215-592-9494. Our next guest is Sheil Kapadia. He's usually with us on Wednesdays, but moved to Thursday this week, ever closer to the Eagles and those L.A. Rams. Sheil, of course, doing wonderful work for the Ringer, and you can follow him at Sheil Kapadia on Twitter. Good morning, Sheil.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Excited.
Great, Sheil.
Excited, fired up, not that nervous, and very confident, Sheil. Maybe overconfident, but it's how I honestly feel. Sheil, let's start with this. The Rams, good but not great, right? I mean, and let me say this. I'm not saying their whole season, because I know the whole season, that's for sure accurate. Have they become great with the last month when they played six straight games and won six straight games that they tried in, were they still only good?
No, I would still say good, but not great. You know, I've been saying about Matthew Stafford all game long. For one game, he can look like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and they can look like an elite offense. My question was, in the playoffs, can he do that for three straight weeks? And just what I've seen this year, their inconsistencies, I don't know that they can do that. You know, a month ago or so, they put up 44 points on the Buffalo Bills, and everyone thought, man, watch out for the Rams. And then the next 3 weeks, they don't score over 20 points. So I think their A game is very good, so they do have that ceiling. But I think you saw some of that last week, and now coming to Philadelphia in this weather against the best defense in the NFL, I think it's going to be a tough spot for them.
How much we're still talking about Jalen's performance last week against the Packers. When you evaluate that, Sheil, the all 22, what are your takeaways?
Yeah, you know, I've struggled with this all week long because on one hand, I watch that film and I look at it and it's a very uninspiring passing game. And I'm not telling you that they need to come out and throw the ball 35 times a game. What you want to see is that when they do need to throw it, we know they're going to be run heavy, but when they do need to throw it, can they throw it efficiently? And they did that in the first game against the Rams back in week 12. But in this game, you know, I think it's a combination of two things. I think I still come away feeling uninspired by the scheme, feeling like they're not scheming guys open. They're not creative. They have a low volume of passing concepts. And then I think what happened with Jalen Hurts, at least this is my you know, theory, is that early in the season, he turns the football over a little bit. And after that, they say, we're prioritizing avoiding turnovers over everything else. And so I think that's led to probably the most conservative Jalen Hurts we've seen since he's become the quarterback, where they attempt just one throw of over 20 yards last game, where they target A.J. Brown just three times. in that game. So I look at all that, and then I say, it's working. They're two games away from being in the Super Bowl. They've got a great defense. They've got a great rushing offense. They've got a great offensive line. So maybe it won't catch up to them, but that is what I see from the passing game when I turn on the film.
Sure. It's just conservative, yet somehow Jalen takes the brunt of the blame, despite the fact that, you know, it was called in such a way that it was. It felt predictable. It felt simple. And the receivers also at times. How about the receivers' openness, Shiel? How open were they? I know AJ talked today, stressed the fact that he's always open. But when Jalen is conservative to begin with, doesn't want to put the ball at risk in any way, how open were these receivers that he was throwing to?
Yeah, I don't put blame on the receivers. You know, I do think consistently if they're getting one-on-ones, they can get open. Now, schematically, there are things where you run a certain route concept and the defense has a beat on it. And you legitimately saw that in this game where then Jalen Hurts has to hold on to the football and figure something out. I mean, there's just too many snaps in this offense where the quarterback's either taking a sack or throwing the football away or trying to scramble. And if you look at it, when Hurts can play in rhythm and get the football out within 2.5 seconds, he's been very good this season. I think the issues have come when he's had to hold on to the football a little bit. But listen, even in the past, when you would say, hey, A.J. Brown's not really open, Jalen Hurts has been willing to give him a shot and throw the football up there. You say, wow, you should do that. A.J. Brown can make a play. Those plays are not part of what they're doing right now. If it's a 50-50 ball, they're turning it down and saying, hey, let's live to see another game. And again, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm saying, yeah, and we win almost every game. So that is a fine way to play. So it's really a tough thing to balance right now, how concerned to be about it.
Yeah, it's an odd dynamic. It's very unusual. And to your point, they do win an awful lot. And, you know, Shiel, I've made the point many times. I think they manage a game in an exceptional way. Jalen is part of that. You guys know I don't love him in the passing game, but I do think the conservative nature fits having a great defense and a great running game. So there's that element. And also, Shiel, I think Sirianni's game management, I know it got weird in October, but I got to tell you, over 4 years, I think he's a superb, superb game manager. Do you agree with that, Shiel?
How do you compare him and Sean McVay?
I wouldn't go superb, Joe. I think we probably don't always see it the same way. Mm-hmm. I like being aggressive. I like, hey, let's go for it on fourth down when you have those opportunities. And he's actually been, there are times where he's a little conservative for me, if I'm being honest. You know, just like last week, they had, a 4th-and-4 in opposing territory. You try to draw them offside, and then you punt. They had third down plays or 3rd-and-long, and they're just running the football. So I understand. I understand why he's doing it that way. The formula has worked. But to me, I do prefer being a little aggressive. Now, Sean McVay has had real issues with this in the past. He actually hired a coach this offseason to help him specifically with the game management because they were burning timeouts very early in the first half, very early in the second half, and they would get to the end of these games in close games and they wouldn't have timeouts. So I think it's been a little better for him this season, but I would give Sirianni the edge over McVay when it comes to managing the game and making those in-game decisions.
You know, Shiel, I just got to think, I don't have every example in my back pocket, but I got to think the coaches that call plays on offense, it's harder for them to manage the game. I don't know how it wouldn't be.
Of course it is.
It's just got to complicate things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to have somebody in your headset that is telling you what to do.
Yeah.
You know, these coaches are so... that they need to control every single thing. I'm sure John could speak more to that with his experiences. But when they realize, hey, there's a lot on my plate, I need to hire someone I trust so that when that clock's winding down and I need to know, am I punting? Am I going for it? Do I need to call timeout? How many times have we seen that this year? I mean, that Thanksgiving game with the Bears was the biggest example of it where it's on national TV and they don't know what they're doing at the end of the game. I just don't understand how you can sleep in your office and work 100 hours a week, but then this thing that can really give you an edge with making these decisions within the game, you don't have that buttoned up.
So Sean McVay as a game manager knew he needed help, went and got it. Sean McVay as a game planner and offensive coordinator against Vic Fangio, how does that matchup look to you?
Yeah, that you know, I think McVay as an offensive schemer, game planner, play caller is elite. And this goes back to that Super Bowl that he lost against the Patriots, where the Patriots took the game plan from Vic Fangio earlier that season and implemented it against Sean McVay and totally shut down his offense. So I think that has lived in McVay's head for a long time. Now, I will say...
So you think this has been brewing for a while, and this is going to be like the climax of a long time building for McVay?
I do think it's a big deal for him. I mean, yeah, you heard him talk about it after that Super Bowl. You know, he was very open about it, how he kind of went to a dark place after that Super Bowl and really felt like he let his team down against a scheme that Fangio had cooked up. Now, I will say, reviewing the Week 12 game here between the Eagles and the Rams, McVay did some good things in that game. You know, the Rams only scored 20 points, but they had a fumble in the red zone. They missed a field goal. And if you look at it, they performed better than a lot of the offenses that have faced off against Fangio and the Eagles here over the last 6-7 weeks, where the Eagles have just shut everyone down. Yeah, I do think there's a very fun coaching matchup here where McVay's accomplished a lot. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. And this is a guy who in the past he's called the toughest defense in the NFL to go against. And by the way, this could be McVay's last game with Matthew Stafford. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with that team in the offseason. So, yeah, it is a fun subplot between those two coaches.
Sheila, I'm sure everyone, I mean, maybe literally 100% of people listening are more familiar with Stafford and the Rams offense than their defense. Give us a couple names every Eagles fan should be aware of on the Rams defense going into this game that could pose a threat to the Eagles.
It really comes down to their defensive line. You know, if they cannot pressure the quarterback, I don't think it's a very good defense. But they've been able to pressure the quarterback. So they've got guys up front. Jared Verse is the first-round pick this year, probably going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think he's fifth in the NFL, in the entire NFL, in pressures this year. So he is an outstanding player. Kobe Turner, Byron Young, it's all the guys up front. Because in that first game, the Eagles' offensive line handled them for the most part. And if they're able to do that again, then I think the Eagles are going to win big in this game. If that Rams pass rush can notch some more victories again and make Jalen Hurts hold on to the football, that's really their path to victory. But, you know, they've been very good in the red zone. They've been better as of late, but it's still, if you go talent for talent, one by one, Eagles offense versus Rams defense, you're going to put the check mark next to the Eagles Eagles player in most of those cases.
Eagles win, right, Shil?
I've got the Eagles, yeah. I'm debating still if it's a blowout or close, but I think this broke pretty well for them. I think they're going to be able to run the football and just their defense shows up every week. I mean, I don't remember an Eagles defense in a long time where it's just week-to-week reliability like this one. So, yeah, I think they've got a great shot to advance to the NFC Championship.
Shield, stay well, bud. We'll talk to you next week. Again, everyone follow Shield's work at The Ringer and at Shield Capadia on Twitter. Thank you, Shield.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Thank
Good
you,
stuff,
Shield.
Bud.